Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Fred Pullen on the Internet Explorer team. For the next 75 minutes or so, we're going to be exploring enterprise mode for Internet Explorer 11. I also have additional information to share that we haven't publicly disclosed, so this should be a good session. Now, I want to make it as interactive as possible, but please do keep in mind this is being recorded and many more people are likely to watch the recording. So if you do have a question, please feel free to ask. I may repeat the question or you can come up and use the microphone so we don't have to repeat ourselves. What I'll be doing in today's session is covering some of the context for enterprise mode and for backward compatibility, why backward compatibility is particularly important now. I'll also be sharing a deep dive on enterprise mode. I'll cover the enterprise site discovery feature that we just announced last week. And I'll also cover some additional details which we haven't shared. So let's go ahead and get started. So for context, we have lots of versions of Internet Explorer out there. And Windows XP supports IE 6, 7, and 8. Windows Vista 7, 8, 9. Windows 7, IE 8, 9, 10, and 11 are currently supported today. Windows 8, IE 10. Windows 8.1, IE 11. Customers ask us, what version would we recommend? What guidance should we give? And frankly, it's not just customers. It's partners, ISVs as well. Given that there are four different versions of Internet Explorer currently supported on Windows 7, it becomes a very difficult problem. Many customers tell us that some of their line of business applications standardized on IE8, some are now supported on IE9, some are supported on IE10, some are supported on IE11. It's a very difficult position to be in as an ecosystem. We realize that many of our customers standardized on Internet Explorer 8 because it was the only version that was supported on both Windows XP and on Windows 7. So by standardizing on IE8, you had a good platform that you were able to take forward and ease your migration up to Windows 7. Likewise, many customers are evaluating Internet Explorer 11, not necessarily even for Internet Explorer 11's sake, but for the fact that IE 11 unblocks the next generation of software, services, and devices. It's not just Windows 8.1 that requires Internet Explorer 11. It's also the latest Windows tablets, the latest Windows devices like the Surface Pro 3. It's not just Office 365 that run best on modern browsers. Even Gmail and other modern websites and services require N or N-1, the latest browser. So there are many of today's sites and services that require customers to upgrade browsers, which is why we've made a lot of effort over the last year or so to help ease that migration. We know historically that moving up from IE6 or IE7 up to IE8 was relatively painful. It was costly both in terms of time and resources. If you think back, Internet Explorer 5, 6, 7, 8 had a lot of proprietary functionality in it. Customers had asked Microsoft for functionality that did not exist as a W3C or ECMA International or other web standard. So we developed this functionality that ended up being leveraged by a lot of line of business applications. And you know the story from here. The web went in a different direction. So between IE8 and IE9, we did a complete reset of the browser. We rewrote our browser from the ground up to be based on modern standards. It's really great for public-facing websites when we're able to iterate on those standards by moving from IE9 to 10 to 11 and have an increasing amount of support for modern web standards. But unfortunately, it meant that we broke a lot of older websites that were designed for older versions of Internet Explorer, which is why we're now offering enterprise mode and better backward compatibility. We're not taking away the document modes. We're not taking away compatibility view because we realize, especially for enterprise customers, IT is a cost center. Unless there's a driving reason to update your apps to modern standards, you may not have that return on investment. You may not be able to justify that cost. So what we suggest is upgrading to modern standards is still the best long-term solution. There are performance benefits, security benefits, and other benefits associated with upgrading. But we also don't want to leave you behind if you have dependencies on older versions of IE, which is why we want to take forward backward compatibility. A lot of our effort for enterprise mode has been focused on helping customers upgrade from IE8 up to IE11. One of the announcements we wanted to share today is that we're expanding enterprise mode, and specifically the enterprise mode site list, to include all document modes. And I'll be going into more detail during my presentation. I've got a demo to show you. But we're expanding this functionality so that if you've already upgraded to IE9 or IE10, you might have been asking, is enterprise mode even relevant for me? And the answer starting today is absolutely yes. We now can help you with all of the document modes that are currently supported with IE11. The other reason that customers are very interested in upgrading is that in August, we announced two changes. One was that effective January 12, 2016, only the most recent version of Internet Explorer will be supported on supported platforms. So effectively, this means effective January 12, 2016, IE11 will be supported on Windows 7. We will not be offering support for IE10, IE9, or IE8. But the good news is we're bringing a lot of resources and tools to help you upgrade, to ease this transition for you. The second announcement is equally relevant, but didn't get as much news coverage. The second announcement is that we are taking enterprise mode and our backward compatibility features forward for the life of the Windows operating system. So effectively, this means on Windows 7, we are supporting enterprise mode through 2020. We are supporting enterprise mode on Windows 8.1 through its life cycle. And the second announcement that we'll be sharing more detail towards the end of the presentation is we're also taking the backward compatibility features of Internet Explorer 11 forward to our next major version of the browser. So if you've tested your sites with enterprise mode for Internet Explorer 11, it'll ease the migration up to future versions of our browser and future versions of Windows, like Windows 10. Those of you who have downloaded the technical preview for Windows 10 have seen that it includes IE 11. And while we certainly have additional changes that we'll be announcing in the next few months, we wanted to reassure you that we will have the backward compatibility features of IE 11 in our next major browser. So with that context, I wanted to go and do a deep dive on the features and functionality of enterprise mode, site discovery, and the new update that we're making to the enterprise mode site list. I will be spending a lot of time in demo, but I want to make this as interactive as possible. So please feel free to interrupt, ask questions. I won't be going in as much detail on some of the features because I may have presented them already at Build or at the previous Tech Ed. So where I've presented in a lot of detail, I'll keep it at a high level so I can spend more time on the new features. So talking about enterprise mode. Enterprise mode for Internet Explorer 11 provides higher fidelity emulation for Internet Explorer 8 in both Windows 7 and Windows 8.1. Now, when I say emulation, we're not running the original IE8 binaries. This is IE11 emulating through code changes Internet Explorer 8. It's not going to be perfect, but we're continuing to make it better and better and better. This is an update that we released in April of this year for Internet Explorer 11. And I want to call your attention to this because I think it's important. We've offered several updates for Internet Explorer 11 that contain new functionality. In this April update, we not only included enterprise mode, we also included WebGL standards. We included improvements to F12 developer tools. In July and August of this year, we offered additional updates, including some security updates that are pretty significant. In September, we offered the update that includes the site discovery telemetry. So we're continuing to offer iterative updates for Internet Explorer 11, but here's the key. These updates don't necessitate additional testing. We didn't hear from customers that we broke a lot of things. What we're trying to do is offer better backward compatibility and better forward compatibility for modern websites and services without necessitating additional rounds of testing. And you'll hear this theme come up over and over and over throughout Microsoft, not just from the Internet Explorer team, but from Windows and other teams as well. We want to be able to offer minor iterative updates that don't necessitate additional costs. So what does Enterprise Mode actually do? Engineering looked at thousands of changes from IE8 to IE9 to IE10 to IE11. They also looked at thousands of web app compat bug reports that enterprise customers had made. And what we found was there were high order bits. There were clusters of issues that we could fix. The biggest cluster of issues was the user agent string. There are many websites out there that were designed to query the browser and say, what version of browser are you? And if they get back a value they don't expect, they behave unpredictably. Sometimes they say, sorry, I don't run with you. I'm not sure what you are. Sometimes they say, please upgrade your version of Internet Explorer to IE8 or IE7. So this is a very frustrating experience for customers. Enterprise Mode faithfully replicates the original IE8 user agent string. So that's one class of problem that just went away. Likewise, ActiveX controls and other binaries can query the browser and say, hey, what version of browser are you? Before, IE11 and IE10 and IE9 would give the real value. And many of those ActiveX controls would silently fail as a courtesy to the user. Well, now what we do is effectively lie in enterprise mode to those ActiveX controls and other binaries and say, yes, as far as you know, I am IE8, and many of those controls work where before they would fail. Likewise, I mentioned some of the deprecated functionality over time. We had a lot of proprietary functionality in IE5, 6, 7, 8. Developers used that functionality to create some amazing line of business applications that run many of our companies and organizations today. So in enterprise mode, we bring back some of that deprecated functionality. So sites work where before they would fail. There are also some performance improvements in Internet Explorer 11. One of the ones I'll mention is if you pull up Bing.com and do a search, the first search result will be pre-cached in an invisible tab. So that if you click on that search result, effectively what IE11 is doing is it's making one tab disappear and making another tab appear. Some other modern browsers do this as well to give the perception of really, really fast browsing. Well, that's great if you're surfing the public web, but if you're running a toolbar or another navigation control, the navigation control gets really confused when its web page disappears. So by turning off some of these performance improvements, we can have a higher degree of emulation and compatibility. I want to emphasize these are the big things. We're continuing to look at compatibility improvements and the next high order bit that we can work on. We know that this doesn't solve all problems. I'll give you a couple examples of areas where it doesn't help. Enterprise mode doesn't currently help if you have a Windows x86 binary that's using a web control to render content. There are some ISVs out there that have written software that is a Windows executable, and it will dynamically create HTML content and then display that content through a web control within that Windows executable. Enterprise mode really only helps with the browser-based problems. But we are continuing to work with ISVs and work with companies on finding solutions for this next set of problems as well. Let's talk about how you manage enterprise mode, and then I'll dive into a demo and show you everything that I'm talking about here in the next couple of three slides. So we have both group policies and registry keys to manage enterprise mode. And I often get the question, why didn't you guys create a site list that could live in group policy? And the answer is pretty simple. It's really twofold. One is we had a number of customers who said, I want to be able to push enterprise mode out to non-domain joined machines. The specific example was we had one insurance company who said they had several hundred thousand independent insurance agents who needed to be able to connect to their extranet, IE8 era application, in order to do insurance quotes. So for those customers, they're able to create a solution which can use mobile device management It can use just pushing out the registry keys. You can even create your own version of Internet Explorer using the IEAK, the Internet Explorer Administration Kit, that includes the settings that you need to connect to that extranet. The other reason that we wanted to manage this as a separate XML file, and I'll go into more detail on that in a second, the other reason is there's a lot of complexity here. Before you ask, this is at a path level and not at a domain level. So you can literally say Microsoft.com/ABC gets enterprise mode treatment. Microsoft.com/ABC/123 does not. So you can be very granular on how you control this. And we realized very quickly that in order to include the opt-in, opt-out logic, it went beyond managing this through group policy. So the group policies we do have are simply let users turn on and use enterprise mode from the tools menu and use the enterprise mode, i.e. website list. This is simply a pointer to the XML file that contains the list of sites that should get enterprise mode. The file can be hosted locally on a C drive. It can be hosted on an intranet, extranet, public-facing web. It can be hosted on a distributed file system. Lots of options on where you actually store this file. The registry keys correspond to the group policies. You can use the registry keys or the group policies, and depending on your environment. For demo purposes, I generally just stick with the registry keys. But the registry keys here, the first one does double duty, enable the tools menu, so I can see enterprise mode when I do the tools menu dropdown, and enable the XML site list, simply the pointer to where that site list exists. Now, some guidance here. From talking with a lot of customers, I know that there are a lot of end users who misused the compatibility view button when we had that in the browser. There are lots of help desks that have that as one of their top two questions when someone's calling about the browser. Okay, let's go into the compatibility view and let's see if you accidentally added this site to compatibility view. So we didn't want to make enterprise mode easily discoverable. This is not an end user feature. This is really a feature for testing, and it's a feature for enterprise customers who know what they're doing, who want to be able to turn this on. So we did kind of bury it a little bit in the tools menu so that if you turn it on, hopefully you know what you're doing. There are many organizations that use just the second group policy or the second reg key and not the first one for their broader organization. In other words, once you know which websites need enterprise mode, you can simply send the list out to those users. And from a user standpoint, there's nothing they need to do, nothing they need to know. It just gets turned on by default, and they can't turn it on themselves. So there are lots of ways you can slice and dice this depending on your organization. There's a lot of flexibility here. There's an enterprise mode site list manager that allows you to manage this, enables you to manage the XML file. You can also just edit the XML file manually, but the site list manager includes a little bit of logic to help keep you out of trouble. For example, one of the things it will notice is if you enter in a URL that simply forwards to another URL, it will prompt you and say, hey, we noticed you added this URL. Do you also want to add the one that it forwards to? So there's a little bit of flexibility within the tool. The logic here works on both sides, as I mentioned before. You can choose to include certain paths or exclude certain paths from enterprise mode. Now, this is the file as it existed until literally today that just controls enterprise mode. And I want you to notice it's either enterprise mode or defaults, because we're not taking away any document modes. We're not taking away compatibility view. We're not taking away any of the compatibility tools that you have today. Enterprise mode is simply an additional layer. It's an additional tool available to you. So that's why this tool currently shows enterprise mode or whatever the site would have rendered in without enterprise mode. It could be edge mode for modern standards. It could be IE9, IE10, IE8. It depends on the site and the circumstances. A couple of scenarios I want to walk through, and then I'll show you in demo how to replicate these scenarios. So I suggested earlier, if you roll out Internet Explorer 11 to a limited set of pilot users, you can tell those users, go about your daily job, If you run into a website that's not compatible with Internet Explorer 11, turn on Enterprise Mode. If it still doesn't work, turn off Enterprise Mode. And optionally, but you can configure a collection point that every time someone turns it on or off, it simply sends a post to that location so that you can gather this information, essentially crowdsource it from your own users. I'm curious, show of hands for how many people may own the desktop or may own Internet Explorer, but you don't own the line of business applications that your users are actually using. Yeah, it's a good number of us. What we're trying to do is give you the tools that you need to be successful without asking the line of business application owner to do much. You know, we want to make sure that you have the tools you need to manage the browser and manage the browser environment without making the line of business application user jump through a bunch of hoops updating their site to modern standards. Once you've got this collection point and you've got this data, it can help you make this master list. Now, again, this is group policy, so you can apply different master lists or different XML files to site lists depending on the site, depending on the region of the world, completely up to your particular topography. Once you have the list, though, you can push out the location of this list using group policy or reg keys to any Windows 8.1 or Windows 7 machine, and Internet Explorer 11 just works as advertised. From an end user standpoint, there's no training involved. They just surf the web. If they surf a web site that requires enterprise mode and is on this list, they get enterprise mode. If they surf off to another site, they get whatever that site is asking for. All right, let's walk through some of what I just showed you in terms of demo. Now, I always like to explain my demo environment. No smoke or mirrors here. This is simply a Windows 8.1 update machine. And I'm running a couple of VMs on it that I'll show later. But for this demo, I'm just going to keep it native on my own Windows 8.1 system. So let's switch over. All right, the first thing I wanted to show you was the group policies, and we'll look at this just briefly. This particular machine is not domain joined, so I'm just using the local group policy editor to show you this functionality. But it's basically just two policies: let users turn on and use enterprise mode, and use the enterprise mode, i.e. website list. Now, if I turn on these policies, they will create these reg keys. And the reg keys themselves, let me zoom in a little bit for you. So the reg keys themselves are enable, and this enable policy does double duty. Enable, if it exists on its own, will simply enable the tools menu. If I choose to add a string to this reg key, then the string can point to a collection point. So when I turn on or off enterprise mode, I'm able to get that post and get that collection. The other key that we can create is simply site list. So I'm going to go ahead and create a key here with a string value. Site list, and I can call it, let's go ahead and just set this up. Localhost, sitelist.xml. So it's that simple. Now when I fire up Internet Explorer the first time, if it notices that this is configured, it's going to go looking for the site list file. And it's going to download it and cache it locally. Later, if I'm not connected to the network, if I'm not connected to my intranet, it's okay. It's not going to fail. It's not going to give the user any nasty messages. It's just going to try to connect. If it can't connect, it will fail and just stop trying. The other thing I should mention here is that the site list itself has a version number. So as you change the version number, it will go out and just check the version against what's out there on the internet, you know, whatever link I have there. And if the version is different from what's cached locally, it will pull down the copy to my local system. It doesn't look at the order or the rank of the number. In other words, if I'm currently using version 2 of the list and it notices that there's a version 1 out there, it's going to download version 1 because 1 is different than 2. All it's looking to see is, do I have the same version as the one that's out there, or are they different? I mention this because I've had some customers a little bit confused with version control. Now, I wanted to mention here, there is a site in the MSDN library, set up enterprise mode logging and data collection. There are lots of ways of doing this. I'm not a developer. I'm an IT pro. So I use the down and dirty method of using a single ASP page. My developer friends, like Chris Jackson, are shocked and saddened by this. So I wanted to show you both ways in case you wanted to use either of these methods. So the down and dirty method is described on this page on MSDN, and it's simply setting up IIS, setting up logging on your IIS site, and including a single line of ASP code. So literally, it's just this ASP page right there. Now, once I've created this page, it will log locally every time I turn on or off enterprise mode. So on my machine here, let's go ahead and show you. On my machine here, if I bring up my IIS manager, again, no smoke or mirrors. I want to show you exactly the environment I'm running here. If I'm running IIS and I have a site here just for enterprise mode that includes logging certain fields. So I can choose which fields to log. Let's go ahead and make that bigger for you. So I can choose exactly which fields I want in my log file, perhaps including the machine that's being used to generate this post, definitely including the web URL that's being used for enterprise mode. And the ASP page itself adds a couple of fields saying enterprise mode turned on or enterprise mode turned off. So the net of all this is, once I set this up properly, then I can go out to my site, and these are log files. And you'll see in this case, enterprise mode has been turned on and off for various sites. Let's make this larger as well. So you see here, for a certain date and time, it's a post location. Enterprise mode was turned on for the travel site and then turned off again. Now, this is, as I mentioned, the most crude way of doing it. But this website also describes a GitHub sample that one of our engineers created that make it very easy to collect this information within a SQL environment. So you can collect this, and then you end up with very nice, neat, clean reports showing, the number of users who accessed a site, the number of users who turned enterprise mode on for a given site, and the number of users who turned it off for a given site. So this is a little cleaner way of doing it. Depending on your technical acumen or what you want to do, there are lots of varieties of lots of ways of slicing and dicing this. I also wanted to show you a couple other things here. One is the site list manager. So let me pull that up. There we go. So the site list manager currently allows you to create a file. You can import and export a file. You can save to XML. You can do bulk adds as well. I've talked to customers who are working on automating a solution where an end user who owns the line of business application can go to a SharePoint site and enter in their credentials and the line of business application that they'd like to add to enterprise mode site list and authenticate it right there. So essentially, IT is saying, I own the desktop. I don't own the line of business applications. I'm going to step out of this process and let the line of business app owners control this themselves. I've also talked to customers who say, if you get on this list, we also would like to see a plan for how you get off of the list. In other words, okay, you're running in backward compatibility for Internet Explorer 8, but let's have a plan for upgrading your site eventually to modern standards. You can very quickly add sites, and I'll go ahead and just add a couple of URLs here. Localhost, enterprise mode, or default mode. Now, I mentioned before, we're adding to this additional document modes. So the way this functionality will look is in this utility, we will add to this dialog box IE10, IE9, IE8, IE7, IE5 Quirks mode, giving you the ability to put any site, any path in any document mode without necessitating changes to the site. So without changing a single line of code on the site, you'll have the ability to use not only enterprise mode and whatever the default is, but you'll explicitly be able to call a particular document mode for that site. I can also put in exceptions to this and add exceptions like localhost CRM and say localhost might get enterprise mode, but CRM might get default mode. This is very useful if you have a complex environment that has lots of sites or lots of modules all associated with the same parent URL. So think about an ERP system or a CRM system. You may have upgraded some modules to modern standards. You may have some modules that still require you to use enterprise mode for better backward compatibility. This utility will allow you to control which modules get which treatment. All right, and then finally, I want to show you just briefly the site list, which is, in my case, stored right here. I'll just open it with Notepad. So the site list gives you the EMI. EMIE is the portion of the site list that is controlled by enterprise mode. The portion below that, doc mode, is new. This is the new part that we're announcing today. There should be a blog entry that I think went live around the same time I started talking. So we are adding to this the ability for you to put any domain or any path in any of those document modes, and this is the syntax. I'll show you a real demo of this a little bit later. All right, any questions on this before we move on? Yes. I'm sorry, say again. When will we bring out the document mode features? November. So we're pre-announcing this. It's not quite available yet, but I wanted to take advantage of the fact that so many of you are here at TechEd to be able to share this with you early.
It's a great feature.
Excellent. It's a great feature, he said. Thank you. All right, so enterprise mode does bring you up to Internet Explorer 11. If you can leverage these backward compatibility features to upgrade to Internet Explorer 11, there are a lot of benefits with a modern browser. Modern web standards, security, performance, reliability. The fact is, how many, show of hands, anybody think Internet Explorer 8 is a secure web browser today? Okay, nobody's willing to take that bet. There are a lot of benefits associated with upgrading web browsers. Yes, there was a hand up question. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
What about the security of the compatibility mode for Internet Explorer 8?
That's a great question. The question is about what about the security about enterprise mode in emulating Internet Explorer 8? Frankly, this is a reason that we chose not to enable enterprise mode through an XUA compatible meta tag. Just a quick review. If you have a website out there and it has a meta tag on it saying XUA compatible IE9, when your browser goes to that site, it will be rendered in IE9 document mode. We considered allowing public-facing websites to force enterprise mode on your browser. We realized that although we're not aware of any particular vulnerability associated with this, by bringing back some of the deprecated functionality, some of the proprietary functionality from IE8, there could be additional risk involved. So the rationale here is that if you are turning enterprise mode on for a limited list of sites, and you're using Internet Explorer 8 for those sites today, it's definitely going to be a more secure environment, and you're limiting your risk because you're controlling which sites get this mode. This could be another reason why you might disable the enterprise mode from the tools menu for most of your users, because you may not want someone going out to the wrong website, turning on enterprise mode, and potentially, we're not aware of any particular issues, but potentially being vulnerable to an IE8 era drive-by exploit.
Thank you.
One of the things I should call out here too, though, is that increased performance. I ran JavaScript SunSpider on this. And no smoke or mirrors again. I had two virtual machines, both running Windows 7 Service Pack 1, two dedicated CPUs, 2 gigs of RAM each, one of them running IE8, one of them running IE11 with enterprise mode. I ran SunSpider multiple times and then took the averages. What we ended up with was, on my particular demo environment, IE8 ran SunSpider in a little over 8 seconds. IE11 in enterprise mode ran it in about 800 milliseconds, so about 8/10 of a second. And IE11 native ran it in about 180 milliseconds, so just less than 2/10 of a second. It's worth the price of admission for some customers just to move to enterprise mode for the performance improvements. You may have users who say, wow, this ERP site is really slow. Or, wow, you know, when I surf the internet, this seems incredibly slow. You may want to check, because if they're using older document modes, that will explain the difference. Or if they're using an older browser, that certainly explains the difference. We did run a proof of concept with about 90 customers worldwide until March of this year. Anybody in the audience who was part of this pilot? Okay. 90 customers worldwide, lots of customers, and we got some great feedback from customers. So I think this underscores the value of having, you know, customers really be able to try this and test it and give us feedback early so we can help create a better product for the entire ecosystem. I've commissioned Forrester. Forrester reassures me that they're going to be coming out with a paper in the next month or so, describing the results of enterprise mode and on easing migrations to IE11. Now again, Internet Explorer 11 with enterprise mode is not a panacea. It's not going to fix all compatibility issues. But for the customers for whom this has fixed issues, it's really unblocked Windows 8.1 upgrades. It's unblocked upgrades for the next generation of devices or services. All right, any other questions on enterprise mode before I move on to some of the new features and functionality? Yes?
If the site has the mid attack, describe which underlying mode should be introduced. Which will win, enterprise mode or the mid attack?
It's a great question. So if a site has an XUA compatible meta tag describing which document mode should be used, which wins out? Enterprise mode, which is enforcing IE8, or does the XUA compatible meta tag win out? The easiest way to think about this is IE11 in enterprise mode is emulating Internet Explorer 8, including Internet Explorer 8's behavior towards XUA compatible meta tags. But the big difference is enterprise mode, since it's emulating IE8, doesn't know what IE9 is, doesn't know what IE10 is. If it encounters a site with an XUA compatible meta tag for IE8, for IE7, for IE5, it'll respect that tag. And likewise, enterprise mode will work with compatibility view. It's worth talking about compatibility view for a second, because I know this is confusing sometimes. If you want a lot more detail, Chris Jackson did a session this morning on troubleshooting web app compat that was recorded. But the essence of this is, in IE8, we introduced compatibility view, which is essentially a switch. If there's an explicit doc type on the website, then that website gets IE7 document mode. If there's not an explicit doc type in the header of the site, it gets IE5 quirks mode. So compatibility view is really a decision that the browser is making when it loads a page. Do you get IE7 mode? Was it a page designed for IE7 era? Or is it an earlier version that doesn't use doc types, in which case we give it IE5 quirks mode? IE8 has that compatibility view. Many of you still have it turned on by default for your intranet sites. IE8 has compatibility view, IE9, IE10, and now IE11. The good news is we're not taking any of this away. IE11 running in enterprise mode still will respect compatibility view. So in terms of troubleshooting, one thing we recommend is try a site natively in IE11. If it doesn't work with modern standards, try it with enterprise mode. If it still doesn't work, turn on compatibility view within enterprise mode, because that's an additional layer of emulation and additional code changes and fixes that may apply to your site. I have had customers tell me, wow, I finally got this site to work that I haven't seen in 5 years. So your mileage may vary, but enterprise mode does work for many, many, many problems. Yes?
You have a site in the middle tag. It says Edge, and it was made for IE10, and it messes up with IE11. Can enterprise mode help with that?
It's a great question. So if you have a site that was designed in IE10 days, and it says Edge, thinking that Edge means IE10, now running in IE11, it has problems because Edge really means truly the edge of modern standards. It means that it'll be kept up to date with modern web standards. Enterprise mode won't necessarily help with that problem, but the new functionality that we're announcing today will. Yeah, and I hadn't shared this yet, but it will override the XUA compatible meta tag. All right, let's move on. Enterprise Site Discovery is a feature we just announced last week. Now, this is actually something we introduced into the browser in September, but it's turned off by default. All we did in September was we added the hooks within Internet Explorer. Just last week, we announced how you can turn on and use those hooks. What took so long was making sure the integration with System Center worked properly, because we didn't want to just issue this and say, here are some hooks, here's how you turn it on, good luck collecting the data. What we have now is an enterprise site discovery toolkit that contains a configuration script. It contains out-of-the-box queries that can help you in your environment discovering what's on the network. So let's go into some detail here. Again, off by default, because when you turn it on, it collects data about every site that's visited by Internet Explorer 11. So in some regions of the world, you may have privacy concerns with this, and rightfully so. Make sure that before you use this feature, that it adheres to all your local laws, regulations, your employment contracts, whatever regulatory environment you happen to be working in, that it does work in that environment. This is also why we recommend in the documentation, you may want to turn this on only for a limited number of test machines that are just testing the sites that your pilot users who are going about their daily job, and they're just hitting intranet sites, or they're just hitting line of business applications. Now, it's not a lot of data that's being collected. I think for every site that you go to, it's only about 200 bytes of data. And likewise, it's not a significant performance hit. That was my first question is, okay, great, what kind of performance hit are we talking about? Not significant. Users won't notice when this is turned on, which is why it's equally important to make sure that they know that it's turned on. The information is collected locally using WMI. And at that point, it can be aggregated using System Center, Configuration Manager, or other tools. What's collected? Lots of information. The reason we came out with this feature is all the hands that went up earlier saying, I own the desktop, but I don't own line of business applications. There are a lot of customers in this position that say, I don't even know what line of business applications are in use in my environment. I'm having trouble managing the web apps that are out there, and I need a better way of keeping a handle on these. Chris Jackson was the one who suggested using the word discovery because it's not truly an inventory. It's not a web crawler. We're not scanning your entire network. It really is helping you discover what customers or what your end users are actually using on your network. The good news is it will collect things like which ActiveX controls are being used for which sites. Hands up, how many of you are running more than one version of Java or JRE in your environment? Yeah, exactly. I talk to customers all the time who say, I have 5 versions of Java running. Please help me figure out which sites are using which versions so I can get on them to upgrade. Tools like this can help you better manage that kind of situation. This will also collect crash counts or hang counts. So if you deploy IE11 out to a limited number of users, turn this on, see what sites are crashing. That might help you prioritize your testing or remediation dollars. So lots of data that it collects about your site and your environment. And let's go ahead and do a quick demo. This is just a screenshot, but I want it to be live, so let's go back over here. All right, no smoke or mirrors. What I'm actually running here is this is actually my machine running under my desk at work in Redmond, and I'm very grateful that I'm able to connect to it. Okay, good. All right, so this is a virtual machine running Windows Server 2012 R2 with System Center on it, and I wanted to show you the actual reports that are running once you enable this functionality, just to give you an idea of the kind of data that's available to you. I'm not going to go through actually setting this up because it would take too long. But we do have documentation out there that can walk you through the setup itself. So let's pull this up. I just wanted to show you in the client settings, I can go into the default client settings and decide where I want to collect this WMI instrumentation, where I want to collect this data. Now, the documentation in TechNet right now shows that you can collect it as part of your hardware inventory. Sorry, I've been an IT pro for way too long. I think that's kind of silly. You might want to collect it as part of your software inventory, or another category. IE is not generally considered hardware. But aside from that, the documentation is spot on, and we've gone through it in a lot of detail. If I look at hardware inventory here, and I look at the classes, this is where I've got installed my IE system info, IE count info, IE URL info, right there. So I'm able to collect these. Let me zoom in a little bit for you. And it's not going to work because I'm switched machines. That's okay. I can do this. There we go. So I just wanted to show you those three counters, IE count info, IE system info, and IE URL info, are what's collecting the data for System Center. Now, at this point, I'm going to go ahead and just cancel, and I'll show you what the reports look like. So I'm going to pull up. So here's a report that shows the domain, URLs, the number of visits, the document mode, and the document mode reason. This is just a count, but let's pull up the ActiveX control and we'll go into a little more detail. So this shows for this machine, a particular ActiveX control, and it shows me the site that's being used by the control, the number of visits, the IE version, 11 right now, the document mode that's being used by the site, and the reason for the document mode. Now, we're getting this information essentially from the F12 developer tools. So if you remember, you can hit F12, and you can see way down here at the bottom tab, right there it shows document mode 5 because of an XUA-compatible meta tag. So the F12 developer tools were already capturing this information about every site that you visit. Why is it being rendered in this mode? Is it because of a group policy? Is it because of an XUA-compatible meta tag? Is it because of the enterprise mode site list? What we're doing now with the WMI instrumentation is we're collecting this data centrally so that you can now have reports that show you this on a scale basis. So you're essentially crowdsourcing this from your users at scale to help you better manage which websites are being rendered in which mode. Or I guess help you better understand that information. All right, can you see where this would be useful in your environments? Yes? No? You tell us. If things like this are not of value to you, we would like to know because we can put our resources in other areas. If this is useful for you, let me see your hands, because I'd like to be able to... Okay, thank you very much. Because part of our job is to make sure that we're working on the right thing and prioritizing the right thing for you guys. So we absolutely value your feedback, and that's why I do a lot of ad hoc surveys at events like this, because I'd like to be able to go back and better represent you as customers. All right, any questions on this enterprise site discovery tool? Yes? I'm going to come down, sorry. Yes? That's a great question. SCCM is not a requirement. It is being collected locally using WMI, but you can use PowerShell and a script in PowerShell to pull the data out. So there's lots of ways of collecting that data. You're getting a little beyond my boundary as an IT pro and into the developer side, but absolutely, if I can run the script, anybody can. Yeah. Any other questions on this before we move on? Yes? Are the what available for download? Yes, the reports are available for download as part of the Enterprise Site Discovery Toolkit. If you do a search for simply Enterprise Site Discovery Toolkit, you'll be able to find this content. There was another question. Yes?
How it actually collects the URL from every site the client is visiting?
Yes. This collects the URL from every site the client visits. And this is why I recommend just turning it on for your test environment. Just turn it on for your test users. This is not something you necessarily want to turn on for everyone in your organization without letting them know and without, you know, being sure that you're okay with the repercussions of that. The data itself is relatively small. I mentioned before, only about 200 bytes per collect. But you know, it does add up over time. And I think I also represent security and privacy for Internet Explorer. I think there are significant privacy concerns as well. Again, turned off by default. This is not something that can be turned on outside your environment. You know, you're the one who can turn this on. This is not information that's collected and sent anywhere.
Yeah. So the inventory tool is only available with IOL. Is there an option to install it like with IEPAM?
Currently, this tool is only available on IE11. We are evaluating whether it would be useful for customers like yourselves to bring this down level to previous versions of IE. Actually, that's a good ad hoc question. How many of you think this would be useful on IE 9, 10, or, you know, 8, 9, or 10? Okay. I'm going to go with half. All right, any other questions before we move on? All right. I'm going to switch back here. And the documentation does cover some of the reports that are available and the scripts that you can use through System Center or another means to actually turn it on at the client. I used, for demo purposes, I just used PowerShell to turn it on. So the net of all this is it was published in September. The documentation was published last week. And we do have the toolkit available with additional scripts, sample queries, and so on. Just do a search for Enterprise Site Discovery Toolkit. You should be able to find it pretty quickly. And finally, Enterprise Mode Site List Update. This is pretty significant. We realized when we offered Enterprise Mode for customers that we were doing a really good job helping customers who had standardized on IE8. But there are a lot of customers out there who have standardized already on IE9 or IE10. Actually, show of hands, IE9 or IE10, anybody? Yeah, a good portion of you. So Enterprise Mode may be less valuable for you before today, before we launch this feature next month. We know that the ability to put a site in a particular document mode can be incredibly helpful. When you're troubleshooting, like I mentioned before, if you try it in IE11 native mode and it doesn't work, try enterprise mode. If it still doesn't work, try enterprise mode with compatibility view. But the fact is, there's lots of document modes out there. So if you hit F12 and go into the F12 developer tools, you can choose different document modes and test your site right there and then. In many cases, Changing the document mode is really simple. Getting the line of business application owner to actually change it themselves can be incredibly difficult, especially if it's not just an application that you don't own, you know, for your department. It may be an application that your company doesn't own. It may be something that's on the public-facing internet. It may be, you know, something where the developer has gone and you don't want to touch the code because you're afraid that the application is going to fall over and die. Been there. So we wanted to give you a tool to be able to control which document mode the website gets without changing a single line of code on the website. So the good news is this now will support all document modes. This will be managed through the Enterprise Mode Site List Manager, or you can add it manually to the XML file. And it overrides the XUA compatible meta tag. That is pretty important. There are a lot of developers out there who have added at some point in the past XUA compatible meta tag for a particular document mode. And then they updated their site to modern standards and they never took that tag off. I talked to one customer in the US who said they had millions of web pages that the developers had upgraded to modern standards, and every one of those pages still has an XUA compatible meta tag for IE8. So the good news is we now have an answer for customers like that. This will be released in November. And as I mentioned, there's more details on the website blog that was just published. Hopefully it's up and running by now. All right, I'll do a quick demo of this. So I'm going to switch machines over again. All right, I'm going to disconnect from this machine. And in this case, I'm running a local Windows 7, because I realize many of you are running Windows 7. This is a local Windows 7 virtual machine running in Hyper-V on my machine here. So it's running locally. This is an example of the new rules syntax. So you'll see here, rules version 2 is simply a placeholder for what version of this rules file I'm using. Again, if it's different than the one being used by Internet Explorer 11, it's going to pull down the latest version. It can be 1, it can be 3, you know, if the number is different, it's going to be pulling down whatever the latest is. And in this case, you'll see that we have a container for Enterprise Mode Internet Explorer. We also have, and I added this for test purposes just to make sure that the file's working. It's not a bad practice to add some site, probably not bing.com, but add a site for testing purposes to make sure that it's taking your changes. And the syntax here is domain. I'm using domain localhost. And then I have two paths. One path uses doc mode 9. One path uses doc mode 7 for PO and travel, respectively. And then I close out the domain in the doc mode. Now, another way you can troubleshoot this, and I wanted to show you this, is if I pull up regkey, in this case, I'm on HKEY current user software, Microsoft Internet Explorer main enterprise mode. And it stores in the HKEY current user path the current version of my enterprise mode file. So this can help you troubleshoot and make sure if you made changes to the XML file and you somehow made a mistake or maybe mistyped something, Internet Explorer is not going to accept the new file. You'll have the old version number running. In this case, I just verified my version number is 2. My regkey is 2. I know that Internet Explorer is using the latest version of this file. And if I pull up Internet Explorer, bing.com now running in enterprise mode. Not a best practice, but I wanted to show you that it actually works. And then localhost. Now, the interesting thing is if I just pull up localhost natively and I press F12, it's running in edge mode. Because if you remember the syntax I'm using, I'm not declaring the entire domain in a particular doc mode. I could do that by simply adding doc mode equals, let's say, 9. So I could do that by simply adding a line like that, or a parameter like that, domain doc mode equals 9 localhost, that would put everything in localhost in that document mode except for my path exceptions. In this case, I don't have an explicit doc mode in the file. I'll restore it back to the way it was originally. I'm simply saying domain localhost, so by default, I'm going to get edge for that site. But if I go to PO or if I go to travel, I'll see some slightly different results. So let's go to PO. PO, if I pull it up, now whether or not the site actually works is less material than whether or not my demo works. So in this case, I bring it up and it's running in IE9 mode. Maybe IE9 is not the right one. Maybe I can try IE8. I can try IE7. I can say, you know what, let's actually try enterprise mode. Oh, enterprise mode works. Okay, we can add it now to the enterprise mode portion of the list. If I go out to the travel site, likewise, excuse me. If I go out to the travel site, likewise, it'll give me whatever the default is. And I'm going to actually, I'll manually turn this off for enterprise mode. Menu bar, tools. Oh, I've got F12. There's another catch. If you have the F12 developer tools open, you won't be able to use the menu command. So you have to close the F12 developer tools, and then you're able to toggle enterprise mode on and off. But what we're able to see is now I'm getting the IE5 quirks mode that I would get. Now, this is worth explaining because this is a little tricky. You notice that I pulled up a travel site, and although I explicitly said doc mode 7, it's giving me doc mode 5. Can anybody think of why? I set this up intentionally as a test for the audience because I gave you the clue earlier. Remember, compatibility view is a choice between IE7 document mode and IE5 document mode. IE7, you'll get if there's an explicit doc type. If there's not an explicit doc type, you're going to get IE5 mode. So in this case, yes, it did call up IE7 document mode, but because there's no doc type, you're actually getting IE5 quirks mode. The site is running as advertised, essentially. All right, any questions on this functionality? As I said, I'll bring up this syntax again, so you can get a good look at this. We haven't published this yet. This isn't on the blog, so I'll share it with you now. It simply allows you to control which domains and which paths with those domains get which document modes. Yes, question? Yeah, let's look at that because this is an early build. This is not the final build of this feature. I'm running beta software essentially. But the concern was if we pull up the PO site, for example, and I'm getting IE9 document mode, and well, let's confirm that. So I'm getting IE9 document mode, but it's not telling me why I'm getting IE9 document mode. I'll make sure that this is working in the final version. That's really good feedback. Thank you. Yes? I'm sorry, say again?
The one that you showed where it goes to IE5 quirks mode.
Yes.
We're configuring it to do it like IE7. So it goes to IE7 and then further to IE5 mode.
Yes.
This would be interesting to more or less debug.
Yeah, the question was about if we run in IE7 mode, why does it fall back to IE5 mode? And
how can we see if it's why it's falling back?
How can you see why it's falling back? Yeah, that would be a good thing. What I haven't tried yet is running the enterprise site discovery tool while I'm running this new feature. So that's worth checking into. Other questions, comments? Yes. Sorry?
Like design i10, you are having this compat mode file, which Microsoft has centrally distributing for certain widely used sites with known issues. So is it like interfering with that one, or you really position the this one only for internal use and you will still continue populating the compat one?
That's absolutely right. The comment was Microsoft currently has something called a compatibility view list that we use for public-facing websites. Will this conflict with that, or how is this handled? This is really intended for enterprise use. This is why it's part of the enterprise mode user, the enterprise mode site list. So it's really intended for organizations to be able to control at a granular level which sites get this treatment. It could be an intranet site. It could be a public-facing website that you choose to use this. The other compatibility view list is something that we will continue to have, but this is just for public-facing websites. Yes?
Where do I get the GPL templates configured at all?
We currently only have two GPO templates to configure document mode, IE7 and IE5. I think the concern is the same with that we had with enterprise mode, and that's that with this functionality, you'll be able to turn this on for non-domain join machines for which enterprise mode is being used. You will also be able to use this to get really granular control over which web paths get which document modes. And that wasn't something we wanted to light up in group policy. It's a little too complex. Other questions, comments? Let's switch back. Yes, I'm sorry? Can you use wildcards in the XML file? No, you cannot. And this is by intent because we didn't want people surfing the web using enterprise mode, for example. Because we didn't want, and that was the first question I got at Build last April from website developers saying, great, Microsoft is adding another document mode that I need to somehow check for. And we said, no, that's not the problem we're trying to solve. Something's gone horribly wrong if an enterprise user is hitting a public-facing website using enterprise mode or any of these document modes incorrectly, because that means the configuration itself in this file would be wrong. Any last questions before we move on? I mentioned earlier that we will be carrying forward the backward compatibility features from Internet Explorer 11 to the next major version of our browser. We're doing this to help ease migrations up to the latest version of IE, up to the latest Windows operating system. This is something new that we're sharing today as well. This is not something we had announced before. The way to think about this is there's really two sides to this problem. There's the problem of compatibility with older legacy websites that were really designed for older versions of Internet Explorer. And there's the problem of compatibility with modern websites. A lot of people ask me, how can Firefox and Chrome update so frequently and not break anything, and you guys update every couple of years and you break a bunch of things? Well, that's because we're solving different problems. Modern browsers are really solving the problem of the modern web engine. How do you stay current on the latest standards? Internet Explorer is best at providing compatibility for older versions of Internet Explorer and compatibility with the modern web. We're trying to solve both of these problems. So the easiest way to think about this is by offering the legacy web engine, including enterprise mode, compatibility view, all of the document modes, this is software as a product that hopefully you won't have to do too much testing for the next version of Internet Explorer or the next version of Windows, because that product is not changing. We're continuing to improve that compatibility. We're continuing to improve that product. The modern web engine is something that will be kept up to date more often. So the modern web engine is something, and we were doing this today in Internet Explorer 11, by continuing to offer WebGL standards, by continuing to offer more and more standards in our browser. We're getting to the point where we have more frequent iterative updates for the modern web engine. And so that's really software as a service. being able to provide updates for our browser that keep us competitive with the modern web and modern sites and services, but at the same time provide good standardized backward compatibility that doesn't necessitate additional testing. So we're really doing a lot of effort on both sides of this compatibility equation. The bottom line for our customers is that obviously upgrading to modern standards is the best long-term solution. It's the most secure, gives you the best performance, but we realize that backward compatibility has a lot to offer. We want to make sure that our customers can use backward compatibility to upgrade to Internet Explorer 11 sooner than later, to stay current on the latest version of Internet Explorer, and to help ease migrations up to the latest version of Windows, the latest devices, the latest software and services. I sincerely appreciate your time. Please feel free to come down if you have any additional questions. Otherwise, have a great TechEd, everyone. Thank you very much.